Never leave the house.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, hello. It's just Joe here. Aaron couldn't make it.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice to meet you guys.
I was going to say, so nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah. Who is who?
I'm Wendaya.
And I'm Olivia.
All right. Okay. So I have a huge cold. I may blow my nose and sneeze. So just...
That's okay.
I'm the editor, so I'll take care of it. But
yeah, no judgment.
It just kind of showed up about 20 minutes ago. It sucks. Anyway.
Can I ask where you're located?
Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, in the cold north. How about you guys?
Very cold.
Yes, very. At the moment in particular.
Wow. Yeah.
How about you guys?
We're in Ohio. Like
I was
southwest.
Just there. I was there. Yeah. I was there about a month ago in Columbus.
Oh, nice. That's where I'm from. But I live in the Dayton area now, about an hour away.
Yeah, I drove through there on the way.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think like normally what we start with is I'd like to hear from you, Wendaya, just like your eightness, how you knew you were an eight. And then why don't you introduce Olivia?
All right.
And then Olivia, you just go from there and tell us how you knew you were a three, and then we'll just keep going.
All right.
All right. My name's Wendaya, and I discovered the Enneagram about, I want to say 4 years ago. I really got into it during the pandemic and read all the books, and my husband and I, like, I figured out he's actually a three too. So I'm sure talk about that later, but yeah. I discovered it was really obvious when I like took the test and started reading books about the Enneagram, and I was actually like more proud to be an eight. Like,
yes.
Once I figured out that that's who I was. I have always been the one that's like standing up for others. I'm really about like things being fair and like strong-minded and really don't take no for an answer. And I truly like believe that people like should discover the best of themselves. So I feel I feel like I'm the ambassador for all of my friends.
Yeah. Do you happen to know, Wendaya, I don't know how much of our tri-type season you heard, but do you know your tri-type?
I think I'm I might mess this up. So
no problem. Not, it's hard to figure out.
Oh man. I think I'm nope, I don't know. I feel like I've done this before and then I'm not sure.
It's for my sake because it's like the language I speak now.
Yeah, and, for sure. I would say I'm more so a social eight. But I would have to look that up again.
No, that's
noted.
Fine. Yeah, you just the kind of not taking no for an answer, that kind of thing, it leans towards certain tri-types. So it's just trying to lock you in.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you know Olivia? And then Olivia, I'd love to hear from you how you knew you were three.
Yeah, so Olivia and I are work besties. We no longer work at the same employer, but are still friends. And we actually had a coworker who brought in this like large book where you charted your birthday, and then she made everyone take their Enneagram test and realized that other people would be into it. So it was like an initial conversation and then something we talked about all the time. We DM each other all the time with things that like speak to us and have really developed a friendship outside of work over these last few years.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. We'll talk about it, but threes and they work well together.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Olivia, how did you figure out your three?
Yeah, so I had one of my best friends. She got really into the Enneagram, not one day, a different friend. And she messaged my little group of girls and said, "You guys have to take this test. Like, I'm so curious to see what number you guys are." So I didn't know anything about it. I just took an online test because I love personality tests like Myers-Briggs and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I took it and immediately typed into a three. And as I was reading through the description, I remember just feeling like yes, yes, yes. Like, check, check, check. This is, I just feel so seen, like, reading through this description. And, like, of course, even just the title, The Achiever, like, speaks so much to me because that's just how I've lived my whole life. But the thing that I loved about it was it really talked about, like, the competitiveness, because I don't consider myself truly a competitive person when it would come to, like, sports and things like that. But I'm very competitive when it comes to, like, milestones and life achievements and, like,
goals
and things like that.
Yeah.
So that made me feel really seen. And then this idea of not just achieving, like, for your inner success, but achieving to kind of impress others and get that people-pleasing element. I was like, oh my gosh, these are all of the things that, like, I know about myself but could never articulate fully. So
yeah.
After I realized, like, how strongly I identified with it, I got really into the Enneagram because it just helped me kind of, like, accept things about myself that I'd always known but maybe had been trying to change or fight against. And it helped me just accept that, like, no, this is just who I am. And there's good things and there's bad things and you know, it's just me.
Do you know your wing? Do you know if you're 2 or 4?
I am a strong wing 2.
Okay, that helps me a lot because I have a bundle of 3s and I find the wing really changes. Mm-hmm. Mainly how you perceive me. We'll talk about that too. And then Olivia, do you know enough 8s that you really have a lock on what that means?
Yes. So definitely, obviously very close with Wendaya. So I know her 8-ness in detail. And then interestingly enough, a lot of my best friend's husbands are 8s. So yeah, I think all of my best friend's husbands are 8s with the exception of Wendaya's husband.
Who's a 3.
Who's a 3 like me. So.
Right. And would you say they're, you know, average to healthy 8s, or do you have some examples of not the best version of 8?
I would say Wendaya is definitely the healthiest 8 that I know. Like, I think she embodies all of the really strong, like, qualities of an 8 when they are really grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the other 8s I know are pretty much that way too. I know a couple who maybe lean a little too heavy into, like, the assertiveness and, like, bullheadedness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for the most part, I think most of them are healthy 8s.
Okay. That's awesome because it just sets up the context for everything else. It's just good to know. Okay. So why don't we start with, I think the easiest thing to do is start with the things that you guys, connect on, like the things that you find, are similar with the two of you, and we can unpack that.
Okay. I'll start. I think one of them, and especially from working together, is we're both very much planners and like when things are put together. And so we were like a part of our employer's social club or social committee. And with every party that we had put together, I feel like I was like the manager and Olivia provided all the details or would help like orchestrate to make things happen in the moment, knowing that I could lean on her and she could lean on me.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really good dynamic because, like, I would put together the plans and then Wendaya would be the one to, like, call and negotiate pricing and, like, have those types of conversations and then come back to me and I would adjust as needed. But yeah, I think that. And then we're both very goal oriented. Mm-hmm. So very much focused on, like, always trying to improve ourselves, always trying to be the best versions of ourselves, and also, like, pushing other people around us to be the best versions of themselves as well.
So
that is, you know what, I'm not going to be able to help myself one day. I'm going to have you try typed by the end.
Okay, great. I cannot wait.
Because I already, like, all I know is you're not my try type because I'm allergic to the word goals. Like, not at all. Like, and yet there's a whole bunch of you that love that word. So I know which way you're leaning anyway. Do you guys find that you are both really practical as well in your decision making? So that helps.
That's a good question. I would say I'm pretty practical in my decision. Like, I would consider myself a very practical person. Like, I tend to think through, like, the pros and cons and all of that and weigh every decision before making it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Would you consider yourself a practical decision maker? It's a tough question.
I know it is. I want to say yes, but I also feel sometimes I'm not, like, I'm more practical when it comes with to like helping others and versus myself.
Yep. I get that. That actually makes sense a little bit. Does that pragmatic thing mean that you guys are both like very efficient and fast paced together?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Very efficient duo.
Efficient is one of my favorite words. Like, no time to waste. Got to get through it. We know who needs to go where to make things happen, and it makes it fun.
Yeah. I would say if my coworkers could describe me in one word, I think all of them would tell you I'm efficient.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So then my question is, so threes are known for being okay to take shortcuts to be efficient, but I think, wouldn't you say you'd be hesitant to do it if it's particularly rebellious or rule breaking? Whereas an eight, we're going to go ahead and do whatever we want to do.
Oh, yeah.
To make it go faster.
I am not a rule breaker. I am such a rule follower. And I have been like this since I was a child. Like, even if I knew the rules were arbitrary and didn't make sense, I hate getting in trouble or doing something wrong. Like, I can't do it. I'm such a rule follower, like, to a T.
And I,
well, have you gotten into that situation yet where one day is like, come on, like, we could just do it this way and no one will have to know. And then you're like, no.
I don't know.
I don't know if I can think of an example, but I think it's known that I'm going to like ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need anybody's permission, especially when the end outcome is going to be that I was right.
Yep.
Right.
But I think that's one of the reasons, like, I was so drawn to Wendaya when I first met her. Like, I remember, like, within hours of meeting her, being very drawn to her assertiveness and her, like, self-assurance, because those are things that I lack often.
Right.
And so I gravitate towards people who have it, because when I'm around them, then I feed off of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have, I personally really love threes. We have like a lot of opinions going on in eight universe about how they feel about threes. But I'm always, just so you know, Olivia, I'm always cheering you guys on, because there is something so compelling about you that works with, maybe it's just me and my, you know, ingredients that make me, but I love how you don't need me. Like, you're not needy. You guys have your own thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know where you're heading. And so I've always said eights feel like big cats of some sort. I don't know, maybe lions or something. But you guys have a similar kind of solidity to you, mm-hmm. where I can't push you. And I can't help but love that. So I really, really like that.
Yeah.
But I also, does that feel right?
Yeah. I think that's really... It's a great way to describe it, because I feel like in a lot of my relationships, like friendships, even sometimes like within my marriage, I feel like I'm pushing people to like be better or push themselves and find the best versions of themselves and improve themselves. But I never have to do that with Wendaya, because she's already doing that for herself. So I think there's like an ease in our friendship where we're not like having to always like push each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't tire me out. Like,
exactly.
There are certain types that drain me. And you just don't at all in any way. But one of the things I find is I can't get to your heart. And I think we'll get there. Like, we'll talk about that in a bit. But mm-hmm. I'm always trying to dig deeper. And that's where tension will happen between me and a three, is they'll be like, like, I don't even know what you want from me. It's not even that they're repelled, they're just like, I literally don't know what you're trying to do right now. What do you mean, heart? Like, I don't even know what I can't give you what you want. I don't know how to express my heart in any way. What are you going on about? But we will get there. Okay, is there anything else you guys just like can think of that's just a pro to you guys being a good pairing? Oh, and Wendaya, feel free to talk about your husband too.
Well, yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said that, like, it it's just easy. Like, we're so compatible in a friendship that there's never, like, I never feel a need to, like, argue with her. I'm never sick of Olivia. We always have a good time. We can, like, not talk for a minute and it things, like, be okay. Like, again, it's not, like, a needy thing or, and it's reassuring for me, and it's nice to have friend like this, for sure. to my husband, who's a three, you made the point of, like, not knowing, like, his heart, and I feel like we've gone back and forth about that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like we're still unsure with how to, like, find that balance of,
I know it's hard,
neither one of us, like, really needing each other, but we do need each other.
Yeah.
And and voicing that in a way that doesn't sound like you're trying to be argumentative or or presenting conflict or anything, but, and I know it always comes from a place of love.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes hard to navigate through.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard me say this on the podcast, but I have a very important example of something a three taught me that just really, really, I'll never forget it. And it changed the way I approach everybody now. But I was trying to reach her heart on something. And I was my usual very blunt self. And I was like, I was just like, you see what's happening, right? Like, every time I try, you brilliantly adjust yourself so that suddenly we're not talking about that anymore. Like, you're so brilliant at just shifting it a little bit. And then somehow your heart, I missed it. And why do you do that? And she kind of looked at me and she was like, I actually just don't think I know how to do what you're asking me to do. I don't think I can go deeper. I don't have another layer for you. And that's when I was like, one, I don't think it's true. There's a deeper layer, but I think she literally doesn't know how to access it. And who am I to force my way in or like assume she finds it as easy as I do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So all the threes in my life struggle. And the ones who know Enneagram now can put into words that they actually just don't quite know how to get there. So it is hard. It is just like a hard thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that I've spent a lot of time working on, like many years of therapy and all of that. So I feel like I'm very good at talking about my emotions and like getting to the heart of it all. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like there have been instances in our friendship where Wendaya has come to me and been like, Seth and I are having these conversations and he said this and I said that, not, you know, nothing too crazy, but I have been able to offer the perspective of, well, he's being very much a three and this is kind of how he's feeling and what he's probably thinking.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's happened a ton, but there have just been instances where like I love Sed and I relate a lot to him, obviously, because we're very similar. And I think Wendy and I's friendship has kind of built off of that.
100%.
Do you like, I'm just so curious, Olivia, if you have any recollection at all of key things that helped you access your heart, or moments where you were like, oh, that's how you do that. And if you have any way of wording why it's so hard for you guys to do that.
Yes, I actually have a very distinct point in my life where I remember the shift. Because for many, many years, the thing with threes is we assimilate to everyone that's around us.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy to like lose our identity because we identify with just whoever we're around. And there's a lot of good things about that because we pull some of the great qualities from the people around us. But like I said, it's very easy to lose your authenticity. And so there came a point in my life where I was going through a very major breakup and I was ending a lot of friendships and starting kind of a whole new life path. And I realized that I was just sick of like pretending. And I felt like a lot of the relationships and friendships I had were built on this fakeness almost. Like I didn't feel like my friends truly knew who I was and what I wanted out of life because I had been inauthentic for so long because it had been so hard for me to tap into who I really was because I was always trying to match the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the point where I went into therapy. And I remember my goal for therapy was to focus on authenticity. And so that was like my mantra for years, was like trying to uncover my most authentic self. And anytime I would make a decision or have a conversation with someone or have a new friendship, I would think, who am I authentically? Am I just mirroring their personality or am I being true to myself? Mm-hmm. And I still very much like assimilate to the people around me, but I think I do it now with this baseline understanding of who I truly am. And that opens up my heart a bit more to people.
Yeah. I'm just hearing you vocalize it is probably half the battle for them, is to just
yes.
to recognize, oh my gosh, I call it micro adjusting. Somewhere along the way, I was like, that's what you guys do.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You make teeny wee little adjustments and you do it so smoothly and brilliantly that
we don't even realize we're doing it. And then you're like, wait, does anybody in my life actually know like who I am when I'm just by myself?
Yeah.
And then it's like, I need to focus on getting that person out there a bit more.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's good. See, I think that little bit there might be very important for people to hear. Other threes or eights in relationship with three, because I know that in a bad situation, you know, when I'm not doing so well, I've been very, I think, frustrated, irritated, disappointed in my threes, because I've perceived them to be hiding or being what's the word, like, when something just needs to be said, it will be either overqualified to death or it will be soft pedaled or something, you know, when the situation needed something way stronger. And I've been very impatient at times when I have to remember that micro adjusting is the greatest gift in a way that they have, and it holds whole groups together. It's what can stop something from imploding, actually. Me being me could destroy a group, whereas the threes I know hold it together because of these micro adjustments. And if they had stated it the way that I had hoped they'd state it, the whole thing probably would have blown up. You guys kind of save my butt a lot.
I think that is like such the nice balance and like compatibility with an eight and a three, because you're exactly right. Like, I tend to overqualify everything I say. I tend to approach it very softly and gently, and a lot of times my point gets lost. Mm-hmm. And so when I bounce ideas off Wendaya, she comes back at me with a very straightforward and assertive answer. Yeah. And maybe too straightforward and assertive for how I would approach it, but there's somewhere in between, like my natural approach versus her natural approach, that's the right approach.
Yeah.
And I feel vice versa, because with Olivia, yes, in work instance, I know I've sent her something that I need to send out in a company-wide email, and because I do HR, so I'd be like, can you just like make this nicer for me. Just soften this up a bit. And I do the same thing to my husband. Like, before I like post anything on Instagram or whatever, I like make him edit it just to make sure it like comes off as me, but that the tone will be received in a way that people won't be hurt.
Yeah. That might be the ultimate way that eights and threes in a workspace can utilize each other, I think, is the check and balance thing.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. And it's funny, because if you think about it, like, Wendaya's position was in HR, which requires a level of, you know, objectivity and assertiveness and like sticking to your guns. And I work in marketing, and which requires a lot of fluff and softness and like client services and like, so.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you guys never, you weren't in a position where you even would have had competition between you.
No.
Yeah. Because, oh, that's too bad. Because I wanted to ask that. I would have been curious. Like, the literature would say that we actually are too independent of each other to compete, weirdly. And threes compete with every other type. But there is an actual space for non-competition with threes and eights, because they're so solidly aiming for their own thing. It might rise up if you just happen to be aiming for the same thing, but for the most part, it just doesn't happen the way it would with threes and maybe other types. So I would have been curious to know if that was a thing with you too.
Yeah.
Unless you're in some sports league.
We did do a beer Olympics together once. That was a while ago. No, I think that's true though. Like even in our personal lives, like we're both obviously wives and mothers and working moms, but I don't think there's always been instances in my life where I compare myself to other people around me and feel mm-hmm. like I'm competing with them, even if they don't know it. But I don't ever feel that way with Wendaya because she's so firmly in her lane while also supporting me in my lane that I don't feel like we're ever at odds with each other.
Yeah. Okay. Then my next question is in your work bubble, when you were working together, Wendaya, did you find that tensions would arise between you and coworkers? And then you'd look across at Olivia and be like, why does that never happen with her? Everybody likes her.
Did you ever feel that way?
I don't know. I know if we, like, if someone said something to me and I needed to like not be so quick to respond, I might slack her or mm-hmm. just give a quick eye roll or yeah. But I don't know that I can think of anything.
No, I think it's
Wendaya, obviously you just didn't have any tension in your particular workspace.
It wasn't a very high tension workspace, I would say.
Yeah.
And I think any instances where there were tensions or, you know, Wendaya had to have a tough conversation with someone or someone said something to her that she wasn't sure how to interpret, I think that's when she would come to me and say, just because I think as a three, I just have a better understanding of how other people's kinds of like minds work.
Oh, yeah.
And like what they mean.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I would interpret that for Wendaya. Like, I don't think they meant it that way. They probably meant it this way, or you should respond this way and mm-hmm. kind of get us off in the situation a bit.
Right. A thing that I've observed with eights and threes in general is just they're both very much noticed in a room, in a group. They tend to be, along with sevens, it's just the way it is with assertive types for different reasons. But
I would say that tracks.
Right?
I wing seven, so yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Very sure.
Definitely. So you both would be noticed. You both would be go-to people and people that others turn to kind of thing. And I've always been aware that what happens with me as an eight is I'm super, super noticed and then super, super repel. A bunch of people flock to me and then I repel a bunch of people. It's partly SX though. And Wendaya, if you don't have that, you're not going to relate as much.
Yeah.
Your SO makes you more three-like, actually. So Erin, my co-podcaster, yes. is more like you and she's more universally liked. I don't have that same that same thing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. I know, but I guess not in the instance with Olivia, but in another role that I play in my life, I, you know, was told that I was too much.
Yeah.
And didn't take that lightly at all.
Yeah.
And so my response was basically, well, I actually will show you what too much is. And then I later, like after the situation died down, I came back and was like, because you feel this way about me, I will be now serving in a role as not enough. And you will need to ask me to do things rather than me normally stepping up to take care of things before they're even asked.
Oh, yeah. That sounds so familiar. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yep. I know that feeling. But yeah, so like I just personally, I have looked across at my fellow threes and I've been like, you make it look so easy. You make it look so easy and everybody likes you.
Yeah, that is real for Olivia. Like, it's really hard not to love her.
Oh, yeah. No, it is quite remarkable, and I've seen it in action enough times to realize that it is why you guys usually end up in managerial or even lead positions. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I will say when Wendaya was at our company, she truly was that go-to person. Her position became kind of a catch-all because people knew that they could ask her to do anything and she would do it and she would find the answer and she would make it happen. And now that Wendaya has left the company, a lot of those go-tos are coming to me. So that's not surprising based on what you just said.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. In my life, I have, so my pastor is a three, and I find he's the ultimate leader in most regards, and that I really fit nicely as the second, because I am, I personally don't like being the one in charge because I am way too independent, and I've got a very outlier kind of feel to me. And so I wouldn't do well at all in leadership. But it sounds like Wendaya, you were in leadership, and Olivia, you were the second for a while.
I think in different roles, like Wendaya, because she was in HR, was very much the leader of kind of
operational
aspects of the business. And then I was more of a leader on the marketing and strategy side, but we balanced each other out nicely.
Right. Okay. So you weren't, one wasn't like under the other.
Right.
No. Yeah. Right. Okay. So it's a different scenario. Yeah. Cause a lot of eights will express enjoying being like the second in command so that they can do whatever they want.
I mean, I never really have a problem with that when I get to take a step back and don't have to be in charge of something.
Yeah. I know. It's just because the leader has to follow rules more. And that's not nearly fun.
Yeah. You have to follow rules and you have to be a team, like,
team
player. You have to take into account everyone else's emotions and opinions. And I feel that's very much a three thing. Whereas the eighth, like you said, very independent. They're like, just let me play and we'll
be good.
We'll get there.
Totally. Yeah, most of our eights that we hear from, they are their own boss or they own their own company or they work independently. Like they just it seems to be just the best way to go.
Yeah.
For the most part, which I can relate to. Okay, it's time for you ladies to be very honest and start talking about the hard things. And this is where maybe your friendship's just been so sweet that you're not going to have a ton to say. But Wendaya, you can feel free to throw your husband under the bus. Do whatever you need to do.
there we go.
But yeah, it's time to kind of pick out the tricky spots that can happen. Because there are certainly some when you've got two assertive types doing life together, you know?
We're ready.
Yeah, so it's up to you. I'm not going to steer you. You just throwing things out there, and then I will for sure probably have stories.
Okay.
So I'm not thinking about Wendaya because, like you said, we've had such an ease to our friendship all this time. I'm thinking about some of the other eights that I know and where we tend to butt heads, and I will say one of the things that I often experience with other eights is the strong opinions, and it's a tension because they're strongly opinionated. They feel the way that they feel. They're not necessarily willing to waver, but they're also very interested in understanding my opinion.
Yeah.
And I love to share it because I like to talk about my thoughts and what I think, but my opinions kind of encompass all different points of views, mm-hmm. and I'm very empathetic and see things from all different angles. But what ends up happening is these very frustrating conversations where the eight is, well, this is what I think and this is how I feel and this is right and blah, blah, but I want to hear more about what you think. And then I share and they're like, well, no. Like, I've never experienced that with Wendaya, but I have experienced that with other eights. They ask for my opinion, but they don't truly want to hear it.
I see. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I would say that I do want to hear it. I just want space to be able to say, I still don't agree.
Yeah, that's a fair
and
point.
Then we can leave it. That's fine. Like, I don't want to convince you. That's, I don't see what the point, but yeah. But I still want to be able to still fall back on, I just still don't think you're right.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's actually very fair and a very, that makes a lot of sense.
Otherwise I'd be lying and we just don't do that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Did you have something to say, Wendy? Sorry.
Yeah. I think I was going to say about threes, and you told me when you brought up my husband, sometimes I feel like there's not always a need to achieve, and that will, like, there's no chill in three. Right. They don't know how to chill. Like, and like, as much as I don't like the whole goal situation, like, yeah, I'm setting goals and working to like achieve them, but it becomes, I feel sometimes like the end all be all, and there's no like happiness without the fulfillment of achieving something.
Right.
There's no relaxing. There's no relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Right. You would agree, Olivia?
I would agree. I think that's something, that's again, something that I've really been trying to work on, because I know it's such a three trait, but I'm a newer mom and it's been my goal to just kind of slow down a little bit and just enjoy, like, not doing anything and just spending time with my family. And it's hard. Like, even my husband always makes fun of me because, well, he's a four. So he loves his alone time and he loves his relaxing time. And we'll sit down on the couch, and the whole time we're on the couch, I'm thinking of all the chores that need to be done and all the things we need to accomplish and everything we need to do to get ready for tomorrow and all the things that are on my to-do list for work. And he's like, can you just sit down and watch this TV show and just relax? And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I should be doing something. Yeah. Always multitasking, always thinking about like what.
Right. Yeah. Our seven wing helps, eh, Wendy?
Yes.
I know. Yeah, it sure does. Plus just the eight being super embodied and that kind of lust thing means that we just absolutely need to get the physical sensation of rest and play. And
oh yeah. Right? I'm a queen 15 minute napper to reset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, can set an alarm. I'm out in a minute, a solid 14 minutes. And when I'm back, like, I'm ready to go again.
Yeah.
The only way I got through college, 20 yeah. minute power nap.
So my husband does not need sleep and could just be doing something at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Got a cough. Okay. Do you know if he's a four wing or a two wing?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I want to say he's a two wing just based on what I know about him. Like, he's a special ed teacher. He's a really great dad. He has tons of really close friends that he cares about. So, like, that caring for us, that caretaker element makes me think he's a
two.
Yeah. I would absolutely probably confirm that. The three with the four wings are, they're more lone wolf types. Like, obviously they're group oriented, but I find them a little bit more, I don't know, self.
Yeah.
Self-focused. Okay, any other hard bits?
I'm trying to think. The only thing, and Wendy, tell me if you disagree with this, when she was talking about how eights would really love to be in a secondary position, I feel like you are very much in the primary position in your family, and that stresses you out sometimes. Of like, I feel like you would love to be able to take a second seat.
To not be
the one in charge of things.
Would love a break.
I feel like that was a lot of the conversations when I would have about just motherhood and like family management in general. It all came back to like, I just want someone else to be in charge. I just want someone else to make decisions and someone else to be like carrying the mental load. And I feel like as a three, it's maybe a little more in my nature to do that and be okay with it. And like, I probably would actually be more stressed out if my husband tried to take more of a lead on stuff, where I feel like you would actually really enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. I think last year, so 2023, I had this like self-reflection that I was just tired. So we like to throw a lot of parties, and I'm always down to have a good time and invite everybody. So all my friend groups come together one time a year for a Halloween party.
The best day.
And at the start of 2023, I was like, I'm not throwing any parties this year. Mm. And people couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then just like, why not? And I was like, well, I just want to be invited to something and
I know.
And I not to have to plan party. It and not have to clean up after and yeah. not have to coordinate. Like just one time. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that yes. For my household, yep, I know that the role that I play. And some of it's due to like the fact that my husband doesn't sit down ever.
Right.
It took like, okay, here's the calendar. Like you can't divvy from this. So we would be out with somebody or we'd be somewhere and they'd be like, hey, do you want to hang out on like Saturday at 2? And he'll be like, oh yeah, no problem. And I'm like, you failed to look at the calendar.
Yeah.
To see that. Calendar. And everything on it is for him. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. And he'll be like, we have nothing going on this week. So then he fills the calendar. And then,
right.
But yeah.
So, can we have one weekend to do nothing?
Yeah. So I think, yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes I am just like wanting a break. And sometimes just saying it makes me feel better or find something in myself to like readjust or, you know, not get into. I feel like I notice very well now when I go into stress as a 5. Mm-hmm. And I like to avoid that feeling at all costs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're reminding me that I've spoken with another of you who are married to a 3, and she expressed such a similar thing. It was such a similar thing of like ships passing almost. They were like ships passing in the night yep. because of the different overextended natures of your personalities. So I find as an 8, I'm overextended relationally, which people don't realize about us is we're fundamentally relational. And so I'll overextend because people need me, which I know it sounds 2, but it isn't. It's very 8. Yeah. And then the 3 overextends doing, and then you're just missing each other.
Yeah, I would say that's very true.
That's very true.
Yeah, I know that I could ask Wendaya to do anything and she could be at max capacity, stressed out, have absolutely no time. And she will find 5 minutes in her day to show up and do whatever I ask her always. To do.
Yeah, always.
I know that.
I'm going to figure it out.
And I don't take advantage of that at all. Because as a 3, I'm very independent. I'll do it myself. But like, that's another thing I love about our friendship is I know if those rare moments when I do need somebody and I do need support, Wendaya is always going to show up.
So fun fact,
and a bad thing.
It is, yeah, exactly. For sure. I know she'll overextend herself to show up for people that she cares about.
Yeah. So fun fact, in my new role, my co-founder through the interview process took the time to connect with colleagues of mine. So a best friend, a coworker, and I coach high school sports. So one of our head coaches and another former coworker, and then came back to me and said, it was so great. Like it wasn't a part of the hiring decision, but he shared that like, it was valuable to learn from other people that how much capacity I could take on. And then some, even like Olivia said, when I'm at my peak, that I'm just going to figure it out and get it done. And when I was hired, he was like, I don't want you overwhelmed. So like, goes over and beyond to ensure that like my plate is full but I'm not like overflowing. Like
what? That's amazing. And
it's been so amazing.
Who does that? Oh my god.
I don't know. It's been I'd say helpful in my personal life because I'm like, if this is capable of happening in my job, then I can make this happen outside of my job. And I believe in like, you know, I've got to fill my own cup in order for it to overflow and to give to others. But when I struggle to fill my own cup, then something's got to give.
Yeah. Yeah. That's remarkable. That's actually, that man needs to be recognized.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Jake.
That's incredible. I wouldn't be surprised if he has someone in his life who you reminded him of. And he was like, oh, I know what could happen so, here. I'm going to take care of her.
So another fun fact is he did and connected me to one of his like board members who happens to be a close friend. And her and I met and we instantly connected. Like it was,
there you go. Yeah.
And then I went back to him. I was like, how did you know I would like this? Like, this is amazing. Like you are reading me through and through and I'm not used to this.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be seen?
Yeah, it is. Oh, it really.
I know. It is so rare. So rare. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, I'm thinking through here. You guys are doing great. I think we have almost everything covered. The only thing I would add is I have noticed that eights, especially when we're young eights or, you know, learning to be self-aware, but not quite yet, we do that, swaggery, tough act thing. And don't even mean to. It just, you know, we're just suddenly acting bigger and more inflated, and threes are so unimpressed. I think that is what I noticed is through the threes in my life were like, what are you doing? Like they watched me do it and they're like, ooh, I don't know what you're doing. Like, why are you expanding like that? It's weird and not impressive. I found them kind of irritated by my tough act, like just not impressed, kind of annoyed, and also frustrated that it took away from the group. It made like I stood out from the group rather than merging things smoother. And chats with my pastor in particular, he's like, why couldn't you just go along? Like, why couldn't you just go along for the sake of the group? And I was like, because it was wrong or right, or because to do it would be to not have integrity in myself. And he just couldn't quite get it. And so I'd have run-ins for that reason. Does that relate in any way?
I feel like a tad. I mean, I feel like if someone says like, why not just go along to me? I'm going to be like, well, if I go along, there will also be my own input. Like, we're not just going to think that this was me because it's not me. So, but I don't know to the other part. Like I'm sure I feel like my mom was one person that like let me thrive in my eightness growing up, looking back and having an understanding now of like what it means to be an eight. But also like humble me and be like, look, that no, chill out. Like and so then you just I feel like I was taught at a young age like how to read the room and know what to say when. And, you know, sometimes you just get carried away.
Yeah, I had an eight mom, so I was basically reinforced.
Oh my gosh. That's so great.
Plus, again, the SX is just the bigger version of all of it. But how about you, Olivia? Have you noticed how fan you are of that eight thing that happens?
Yeah, I can't think of any specific instances with the eights that I know where that has happened, but I can think of other instances where like anytime someone is kind of purposely trying to stand out from the crowd or go against the grain, it does rub me the wrong way. Because I'm such a go with the flow person. And
yeah,
I know that this podcast has nothing to do with fours, but my husband's a four, so he's very into his individuality. And we butt heads a lot where I'm always telling him, just go with the flow, just assimilate to the people around you, like just give into it. And he's always like, no, I have to, I absolutely will not do that. And I interpret it as like, why are you just making life harder? Like just,
yes.
And he's like, why would I do that? Why would I ever compromise my individuality for the sake of other people? Yes. So that is definitely a tension that as a three, I run into it. But comment around
Olivia.
Who purposely are making themselves bigger or trying to stand out from crowds. I find myself purposely trying to like shut them down and trying to bring them back into the crowd. Yeah. Like,
okay. So now picture me an eight. So already like have that thing going on with my next highest number being a 4.
Oh, man.
It's my next highest. So I am double authentically myself, double resistant to going along. Plus, I'm not social. I have social last. So everything about me is really naturally repelled by going along.
Yeah. But it's an interesting tension for me because, like I said earlier, a big thing with threes is it's very easy for us to feel inauthentic. So surrounding ourselves with people who are so authentically themselves all the time is actually very beneficial because there's a lot to learn from that.
You just revealed how healthy you are just by saying that.
Yeah, I know.
You realize, right?
Oh, thank you. I've done a lot of work to get here.
That's amazing.
What an achievement statement.
I know. Right? I've done a lot of work. I worked. This was my goal, was to be a healthy three.
So good. It's so good. Oh, man. Okay. Why don't we just close out with you guys just speak to... It is an 8 podcast, so both of you speak to the 8s you know in relationship with 3 and kind of give your last statement on why it's awesome and, you know, any advice.
I can go first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say to the 8s that I know, thank you for being yourselves, for teaching me how to be stronger and more independent and more assertive in what I want, and always being so reliable, always being someone I know I can turn to, and at the drop of a hat, you're going to show up for me, and always just pushing me to be a better version of myself, and always, but without that level of competition that can sometimes make me shut down, always just lifting me up without competing. I think it's great.
And awesome. I'll say to the 3s, a thank you as well. I think it's, you know, having a healthy friendship with a 3 and a healthy relationship in my marriage with a 3, it's taught me a little bit more grace and patience, and knowing that 3s are hard workers and, you know, always seeking to do the next best thing is motivating, and it's it makes I'm also thankful that I can be myself around a 3. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that there's, like, I don't know, opportunities to grow with a 3 and feel seen and heard and understood even when they don't agree.
Thank you guys so much. That's awesome. I think this is the next episode we're putting out. So
exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fun.
I need a picture of the two of you. So if you have a good one, preferably with like a background that I can isolate, like I need to isolate you two in the picture. That would be super. And then look for it in the next week or two.
Okay. All right. Sounds great.
Yeah, thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys. Have a good night.
You too.